Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
When we come into union with Christ, what happens to Christ is credited to have happened to us. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also, we are raised into a newness of life. So he says, now we should walk in the newness of life.
I will no longer die to what he died to. Because he died, I'm no longer in my sins. Because he died, I can never be sick. Because he died, I can never be poor. Because he died, I can never be under a curse. Because he died, I can never be a prey to the fowler. My soul has escaped through his blood.
Step into the world of infinite possibilities as you listen to Pastor David Ibichku today.
Worship you, Father. Every hand's lifted very high in adoration. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. Our hearts are open before you. Our hands are raised. Our song and our praise we offer, giving thanks to your holy name, our everlasting Father. Almighty God, King of righteousness, Prince of peace, you are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the A and the Z. You are the beginning and the end. And your power and your dominion and your authority is forevermore. And yet, in all of your glory, you've chosen to reveal yourself to us in your mercy, in your compassion, and in your love. Loving Father, we bless you and we worship you. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing already in our midst. Moving mightily, making all things new again. We give you praise. Our hearts are believing, and we are laying hold to every blessing that you have for us today. We already know that our lives will never remain the same. Today, the testimonies that you give, the miracles that you work in our midst will reverberate not just throughout this year, but throughout the ages. Kayekosa, what you're doing in our midst today, we will sit down and stand up and praise your works to generations after us. We give you praise. We give you glory. Just lift your hands and be quiet everywhere. The steadfast love of our Lord never ceases. His mercies
Amen.
you for all you do in our lives. Thank you for your mercy and your compassion towards us. Thank you for your loving kindness towards us. Thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. We give you all the glory. We see your love. And we receive the abundance of your mercies. Lift your hands everywhere. And say, Father, today I receive the abundance of your mercy. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I see your mercy in my life and in all that concerns me. I see your mercy in my family and my whole household. In the name of Jesus Christ, by your mercy, I receive my miracles today. By your mercy, I take hold of your blessings today. In the name of Jesus, by your mercy, my prayers are answered today. By your mercy, my life is decorated with your grace and your favor today. By your mercy, my mouth is satisfied with good things. I receive my healing. I declare I am whole. I declare my wholeness. I declare my divine turnaround. By your mercy, I am kept. I am protected. I am preserved. By your mercy, no evil comes near my dwelling. By your mercy, by your mercy, the plan of the enemy is disappointed, is thwarted in the name of Jesus. By your mercy, I decree and declare, nothing shall go wrong. Nothing will go wrong in my life, in my family, in this ministry, in all that concerns me, in the visions you've given me, in my career, in my businesses, in my investments. Nothing will go wrong. Nothing will go wrong in my going out and my coming in concerning my children. Nothing will go wrong concerning my children's children. Nothing will go wrong in the name of Jesus. Just wave those hands to him. Say, by your mercy, I am satisfied. By your mercy, in this year of quantum lifts, I'm having multiple liftings. I take hold of divine honor in praise, in name, and in honor. I am set high above all nations. Thank you, Father. I give you praise. If you receive that, give you and shout your loudest amen. Shout your loudest amen. Give the Lord Jesus Christ your biggest clap of praise today. Oh, you better give him praise as if you mean it. You better give him praise. You better give him praise. You better give him praise. Hallelujah. Welcome everybody by your side. And make sure they know you're excited that you are in the first worship and miracles for the year 2025. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God has a word for someone here today. My prayer is that you're alert, that your heart is focused and fixed on receiving today. Don't be distracted by anything for any reason. Don't be distracted by anything and for any reason. Somebody say, I hear. Come on, say, I hear. Let us go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 18 to verse 19. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 18 to verse 19. On Sunday, we use the scripture as a text. And today, the Lord is speaking to us with this text. Very, very important. Also today, the Lord has proclaimed you to be His special people, just as He has promised. How many of you are of that chosen generation? A royal priesthood, a holy nation, set apart of a peculiar people. Are you one of them? So I want you to turn to your neighbor, call him by his or her name, connect and say, the Lord has chosen us as His special people. Say, I'm special. Specially loved. Specially cared for. By our everlasting Father. Give God praise. Give Him praise. Give Him praise. Also today, the Lord has proclaimed you to be His special people, just as He promised, that you should keep all His commandments. Now hold your neighbor, and I would like you to read to him or her verse 19 and read that loud. One to go. And that He will set you high above all nations, which He has made in praise, in name, and in honor. And that you may be a holy people to the Lord your God, just as He has spoken. And somebody shout your loudest, amen. Amen. Lift your hands and confess this boldly. And make sure you're very authoritative in your confession. Authority has a tone. Authority has an attitude. Say, the Lord sets me on high. Above all nations, which He has made in praise, in name, and in honor. He sets me apart. He sets me apart as holy unto Him. Say, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that which reproaches, that which brings reproach, will never be found in my life, in my dwelling place, in the name of Jesus. Whatever will make people pity you this year is what God is addressing today. Whatever will make people pity you this year, 2025, today will not just be uprooted, will be obliterated in the name of Jesus Christ. No reproach. You won't be the pitied, you will be the praised. God is decorating our lives with ornaments of praise. Ornaments of praise. We will wear it in all humility, but gladly and boldly. God is beautifying my life with ornaments of praise. God is beautifying my life with ornaments of praise. This year, 2025. Then He said He will set us on high in name. Somebody say, in name. In name. Come on, so in name, when the blessings came upon the father of our faith, Abraham, whom God has set in honor as an institution and a system in his kingdom, that you will not speak of the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you will speak of the foundation of the faith of Abraham. When that blessing came upon him, and the excellent glory spoke, I will bless you and make your name great. When he came upon him and spoke, I will make your name great. Today in our days, and generations after us until the coming of Christ, he has kept to his word. Nowhere will this gospel be preached without mentioning Abraham. Nowhere. His name became great. God kept to his word. And the scripture clearly states that if you are Christ, you are Abraham's seed. Heirs to this promise. Hear me. I don't know where you're coming from. And I don't know what's been happening in your life. I don't know your background or the environment you have lived in for a long time. I don't know the words you've heard and the things you've believed. I don't know the experiences of your past. But one thing I know is what God is saying concerning your life today and concerning your future. Hear me. You will never again be the neglected. You will never again be the despised. You will never again be the abused. You will never again be the insignificant. And hear me, you won't have to seek it. The works of grace in your life, the accomplishments of grace in your life, and what God is enabling you and empowering you to achieve in this year and in this moment will never allow you to enter any space and you're not known. Hear me and hear me. You will even want to hide. You will even want to in all humility. And yet, as you are abasing yourself, you will be exalted before men. You will be exalted before kings. They will give you the preferred seats. They will give you the preferred and exalted positions because of the blessing on your life. I came here to address certain things by the Spirit of the Lord. I lift my hands in the presence of God and decree and declare in the name of the Most High God, in the name of the Exalted Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, whatever had kept you down before now, let you go now! Whatever has covered your insignificance, that has covered your significance, covered your significance, covered your significance, try to cover the shining up of your glory, is destroyed now! In the name of Jesus! In the name of Jesus! Sit down. So somebody said, no reproach. No pity. But praise. I'll set you high in praise. Kai, the Lord has a word for someone. You have always been the one that when your friends and your family see your cause, they try to avoid it. People have always tried to avoid you. The Spirit of the Lord said, I should tell you, I've rolled the shame away. Yeah. Let me tell you the implication of it. Every conspiracy and every orchestration that brought your life to that place where people have to avoid you because they see you as a parasite. They see you as a burden. They see you as he has come again, she has come again, always complaining. Whatever it is, hear the word of the Lord. The Lord has made it all new. It's taken away. It's taken away. It's taken away. That word may not be for every single person, but you will soon hear the testimony. The Lord gave me that word right now for somebody specific. Whoever that person is, and you have an evidence, is your word. Raise your right hand and shout your loudest, amen. And then he said, I will set you high above in honor. Somebody shout, honor! Am I hearing you? Come on, shout again. Shout, honor! I'm still not hearing you yet. Shout it louder. Shout, honor! One more time. Shout, honor! What is honor? So honor means to think of something very highly or someone, and to esteem something very highly. That's what it means to honor. To think of something very highly or to esteem someone very highly. It's also a recognition of importance or value. To honor means to recognize the value and the importance of someone. A recognition of importance and value. It also means to give a token of praise and respect. So when a man is honored, he is giving tokens of praise and of respect. Because he's admired, his value is recognized, and he's esteemed very highly. Honor also means profound reverence. Profound, not ordinary reverence. And awe. To be held in awe. Profound reverence and awe. Then last but not the least, to honor means to be given preference. To be given preference and the privilege of the first. So if someone you honor comes in and people are seated and there is not yet a seat, you notice everybody stands up and they look for the choicest position and they say, please sir, please ma, can you sit down here? That's honor. And you come into a boardroom, the president or the chairman who holds the position of honor walks into that boardroom, everybody stands up. And nobody sits until he what? Sits. In fact, when he sits, he can now tell everybody else, you can sit down. That privilege of preference to let him come first, to let the person go first. So when God honors you, he sets you first. You first before others. That's serious. He positions you in a place of preference. In a place of preference. Where people give you the privilege to go first. To go first. To be satisfied first. To be first. Somebody shout first. Come on, shout first. This year, every single day, every single week, and every single year, you will see the evidence of God's honor on your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Not my word, his word. I will set you on high, above all nations I have made, in praise, in name, and what? In honor. And help me tell your neighbor, God has never lied. God has never lied. We saw, as we taught you through up last week, and I think I did that on Sunday last 2 weeks, and last Sunday I touched it in John chapter 5 verse 41, that Jesus says, I do not receive honor that comes from men. John chapter 5 verse 41. And Jesus says, I do not receive honor that comes from men. So help me tell your neighbor, there is honor that comes from men. And then in verse 44, he shows us that those who go about receiving honor that comes from men will not believe and seek the honor that comes from the only God. There is honor that comes from the only God. You can't be looking to men to honor you and at the same time believe to receive God's honor. For you to receive us honor, you've got to take your eyes off men. The Lord has to bring you to an experience where there is a transformation in your heart, where you no longer live for the commendation and the applause of men. Where you're no longer, it doesn't matter. Their criticisms don't move you. Their praise doesn't move you. Nothing. Nothing. You set your face like a flint. You set your faith like the flinty rock, with no moved by any emotions. Oh, you're awesome. Oh, you're wonderful. Oh, you're the best. All glory to Jesus. What next? What next? Those who seek the honor of men forsake the honor of God. There is an honor that comes from God. Those who crave for the honor of men will always displease God, compromise, disobey God, walk against God, get away from their faith just to get honor from men. You've got to make a choice. You've got to make a choice. If you want honor that comes from God only, you have to set your heart in a place where you do not receive honor from men. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything to you. It doesn't move you. Wave your hands if you're better than me. Help me tell the person by your side, there is an honor that comes from God. Only. Come on, say, there is an honor that comes from God. Say exaltation, promotion, lifting from God comes neither from the east nor from the west. Not from the south. Say, God is the judge of all. He lifts one up and he puts one down. You remember that scripture? Psalms chapter what? 75. Verse 6 and what? 7. And we have settled that. We have settled that. Very, very important. Very key. Let's look at Psalms chapter 3, verse 3 again. The lifting of the Lord. Hallelujah. Everybody lift your hands. Oh, this is worship. This is worship. We've got to claim this. One to go. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. Say, I will not fear what man can do against me. Say, the Lord my God is a shield for me. Say, he's a shield for me. Say, I will not fear what man will do against me. I will not fear the attacks of men. I will not fear the threats of men. For the Lord my God is a shield for me. He is my glory. He is my glory. The one who lifts up my head. Where does your honor come from? Where does your lifting come from? So if you walk into a space and somebody deliberately wants to despise you, somebody deliberately wants to reproach you and acts in a manner that is contrary and tries to act as if he acts in this manner or does this to you, no one will honor you. Will you be moved? Just remember, my honor comes from God. And no man can dishonor whom God honors. When you hear that people are spreading lies about you, and maybe even in the lies, there's an atom of truth, but colored with so many lies and exaggerations, and they are trying to harm your name and your influence, will you try to defend yourself? See, I'm catching you now. Will you go again and gossip about those persons, trying to protect your name, trying to defend yourself? It's either God protects your name or you protect it. When you protect it, he hands off and allows you to do it. When you hands off, he protects it. Answer not back. Defend not yourself. When you hear that, start worshiping and start lifting up your voice. For you, O God, are my glory. My influence comes from you. You've made my name great, and I praise you. I praise you. If there is a pain in your heart, take it to the altar. And when you finish, pray for those people. Bless them. Speak blessings over their life. Ask the Lord for mercy, and you will see the kind of honor. Let me tell you, when you try to protect yourself, you mess things up the more. You make a mess of it. No one can protect your name like God. You will be in your house taking your nice, wonderful lunch. Be in your house taking your dinner. And God will be on a man. If you don't do this, you're dead. Fighting for you. And he spares you the torment and the destruction of unnecessary battles. Unnecessary battles. You come out with victory without your hands soiled in blood. You didn't have to speak ill of anybody. You didn't have to damage anybody's reputation. You didn't have to fight Getty. While you were blessing God and the glory of the Lord was encompassing you, he's busy lifting you up. And at the end of the day, giving you victory before those who think they can bring you down. Hear me. When God holds you up in honor, no tongue of man can bring you down into shame. Decision. You fought your own battles. You've tried to defend yourself. You've tried to launder your own image. You've tried to, you know, manipulate your own brand. How far now? How far? Just relax. Relax and submit to God. Relax. That's how we live. That's how we live. When you live this way, people who rise up to bring you down will always be behind you, watching as God lifts you up more and more. They will always be under your feet. We read another scripture. I would like us to go to 1 Samuel chapter 2. Can you give me from verse 7 first? I would like you to hold that neighbor. And read out loud. Everybody want to go. One more time. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts. Have you seen in the Bible the blessing of the Lord makes one rich? Can hard work make one rich? Yes. Yes. But the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and has no... with it. And has no sir. The Lord brings low. He is the judge. He puts down one and he lifts one up. Look at verse 8. Keep reading to your neighbor and read out loud. Verse 8, 1 to go. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among what? and make them inherit the what? The Lord is putting a new crown of glory on your head this year. Let me tell you what the Lord said to me. He said, son, as you said it, I started placing crowns of glory on people's heads. Oh, crowns of glory are being placed on people's heads. Crowns of glory are being placed on people's heads. Crowns of glory are being placed on people's heads. Now hear me. When you begin to receive visions of great achievements, that's the crown of glory. Embrace it. When you begin to receive visions of things that will set you as the best, embrace it. Don't shrink back. No, don't shrink inside. Embrace it. That's the crown. And because what God places on you, the way He translates it from the spiritual realm into the physical realm, there are different laws of conversion from spiritual reality into physical materiality. One of them is vision. Anything God has done for it to come into your life physically, it has to bring it to your visions. So when you start having those visions, that's the crown. One of the laws of conversion is also prayer. Prayer. And then another conversion, law of conversion is walk. You pray, then you plan and you walk. To set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He has set the world upon them. Verse 9. Read and read out loud. One, two, go. For by no man shall prevail. Get me back to verse 8. Give me the NLT of it. Verse 8, the NLT of verse 8. He lifts the poor from the dust and the needy from the garbage dump. And many of us are not even there. So imagine how low some people were. He sets them among princes. Watch this. Placing them in seats of honor. Somebody, as your amen will resound very loud, I decree and declare over you, this year, you're occupying seats of greater honor. By the hand of the Lord. Not by your own manipulation. Not by compromise. Not by bribing anybody. Without sorrow added with it. No sorrow added with it. You won't have to lick anybody's foot. You won't have to lick anybody's foot. By the hand of the Lord. You will walk into doors that have kept men down, and those doors will open on His own accord to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what's happening in this service. He's making all things new. This year is not what it used to be. Please, when you leave here, take enough pictures of yourself, of your room, of your houses, of your cars, of your offices, of everything that God has given you. Take enough pictures. You will need to know. You will need to know by December what the Lord has done. You will need to see how mighty everything else has changed. Please tell three or four people by your side that they didn't come to play this year. Say, and my life is not anybody's playground. Oh, let out your praise! Glory to Jesus! Honor to you, Jesus! We praise you, Lord! We praise you, Lord! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And in Acts chapter 10, verse 34 to 35, we established that God shows no partiality, that God shows no favoritism, that he doesn't lift people up because he prefers them to others. God loves us all the same way. God loves us all the same way. God is never partial. God doesn't discriminate against another. So there must be a reason that some people are lifted and some people are brought down. For example, let me give you a key: humility and pride. In James chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says, he gives grace generously. More grace, and still it is written, he gives grace to the humble and resists what? The proud. So, you know that word resist? In the Greek, it means God elbows you. The guy, it's not God that determines whether you'll be proud. Actually, what he determines is that you should be humble. Because it is him who works in us, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So, but some people know they agree for God. Every time, the Spirit of the Lord will be leading them, teaching them, guiding them into the truth. They want to do it on their own. So when a man becomes proud, by the laws of the Spirit, he must come down. And that's why I've been shouting this year, tell your neighbor, serve. That's one of the ways to stay humble. The more God lifts you up, the more you serve. Serve God in spirit and in truth. Serve God by serving his saints. Stop coming to church as if you're a special guest. In the kingdom, those who are honored are not chief executives, they are chief servants. He that will be the greatest among you, let him be what? He that will be the greatest, let him be what? Servant. Whoever that will be the greatest, let him be the servant. So, in the kingdom, those who seek honor from men actually feel good when church has started and they come late because they had some appointments, they have some meetings, they have different things, and then they're just driving with their fine cars, and then they come in, they are dangling their keys, and they're answering their call. Even when they are late outside, they're answering call. Okay, I'll call you. Are they church? Are they church? No, maybe we just go give God in own. No, be me, kid, Jesus. And then they come into church, inside church, even that little time, they are still answering WhatsApp, posting things. They can't leave whatever it is. And then they appear before people. And you even see them say this, that listen, if you want to be serious and rich in your life, you can't give too much time to church. And what they are saying, too much time to church, is midweek service and Sunday service. Most of the departments even have their departmental meetings when? On Sunday. After service. That's all. Just very few departments come during the week, like on Saturday. Those who prepare media, sanctuary keepers, that prepare things. And then the choirs, that's anything that has to do with scale. That's what they are doing. No sense, pride. They come as if you are the ones, you know. God starts lifting some people up. They feel like singing is for the youth or for students. Our level now, you know, he said those days when we used to sing in choir. What a shame. What a shame. While a king like David will dance before the Lord, such that the wife will mock him, will still play music as a king. No wonder he's been celebrated for eternity. Do you know some people, when they are starting a year and they are trying to make a new year resolution, some of them, what they put is, I will spend less time in church, spend less time 7. Step. We're not talking about, you know, there are churches where every day, all night, every week, and that's not the way we are here. Serve. I want to see governors that sing in choir. I want to see the business tycoons. I want to see the most prominent techies who serve, who clean the church, who open doors, who stand as marshals and direct traffic in church. I want to see people who humble themselves and say, because God has given me this gift, someone else is going to be blessed with it. I will serve. Somebody say, I will serve. Come on, say, I will serve. Wave your hand, say, I will serve. And what prompts that is the importance and the value you place on God. That's why we said the first key, where you see that, I want you to go to Acts chapter 3, verse 34. I want you to hold your neighbor. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Hold that neighbor, call him by his or her name. Say, hear the word of the Lord and read out loud, one to go. Yes, one to go. Now God shows no what? Verse 35. And read out loud. One to go. Is what? Somebody say, whoever fears him. Shout it again. Say, whoever fears him. Say it again. Whoever fears him and walks righteousness is accepted by him. So tell your neighbor, when you fear God and practice righteousness. Say, it has to be beyond believing righteousness, confessing righteousness, to practicing righteousness. Say, when you start practicing righteousness, you start seeing the honor of God on your life. This year, listen to me, all of you. Wave your hands if you're in church. I want you to pay attention. This is very key. Whatever God gives by grace, which is what I'm going to show you, divine honor is a grace. And you know what grace means? Grace means no one is excluded. No one qualifies for it based on their own works. No one is excluded. It is available to all. But the point is this. Whatever God gives by grace, the only way you receive it is by faith. So let's look at this scripture. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. And we're going to get into verse 2. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. And we're also going to go into verse 2. Hold that, neighbor. Having been justified by faith, we have what? Through, so the subject is through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 2 and read out loud. One to go. Through whom? So who is the whom there? Jesus Christ. So somebody said, through Jesus Christ also. Everybody read, we what? We have by into. In which we, so tell your neighbor, God has already given grace. You're standing in this grace. Your name is on it. You qualify for it because of Jesus Christ. What he did, his finished work, you qualify for it. Not by yourself, but through Jesus Christ. Say, you're already standing in this grace. Say, but you can only access it by faith. So, the grace of eternal salvation is available to all men. But people will go to hell. Even when the price for their salvation has been paid. Why? Until you hear the gospel and you believe the gospel and then you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord, you don't get saved. So that hearing the gospel, believing and confessing. So the Bible says, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto what? Without that, nobody is saved. So though Jesus has made available the grace for all men to be saved, not some men, all men, if they reject him and reject the gospel and don't make that confession of faith, they are not saved. Like now, the grace for your divine healing is available. Nothing is going to stop you. Whatever miracle you're believing for is yours today. No devil is going to stop it. No devil can stop it. Nothing. The only thing is, if you don't believe, lift your hand and say, I believe.
I believe.
Say it boldly, say, I believe.
I believe.
Come on, say, I believe.
I believe.
So tell your neighbor, what God gives freely by grace, man receives by faith. Shout it again. What God gives freely by grace, man must receive by faith. So, for example, when I pray for you now, and I say, you're healed, do what you couldn't do before. What do you do? Do you wait, or do you jump at it and start shouting, I'm healed? Because this is the spirit of faith. We believe, therefore we speak. So if you believe you're healed, you're going to have to start saying, I'm healed. Glory, I'm healed. And then you start doing what, you don't sit down and be waiting for an emotion. Be waiting for a feeling. Feelings and faith are two different things. You immediately jump up. Do something you couldn't do before. And it's as you're doing that, the manifestation comes. But some people are waiting for there to be a change. Then they will say they are healed. But that's not how faith works. Faith is the evidence of things. Because your heart has believed it, you're not acting on it. Even though it seems you don't feel like it, but you're already acting on it because your heart has believed it. So when we say, he who fears the Lord and works righteousness, we're not talking about the works of the law. We're not talking about the do's and don'ts of this natural life. We're not talking about somebody trying to convince God to do something for him. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the works of faith. Because whatever you believe affects your behavior. If you believe something, you behave differently. So James chapter 2 verse 17. I'm going somewhere. Tell your neighbor we are going somewhere. You are about to see something. James chapter 2 verse 17. Hold that neighbor by your hands and read out loud. 1, 2, go. One more time. Tell your neighbor, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Say, when you believe something, there must be a corresponding action that has to follow it. So what he's saying there is an action that corresponds with your believing. You've got to act out your believing. If you say you believe something and you act differently, you don't believe it. You don't believe it yet. You're only saying what you're taught to say. You're only saying what sounds religious. You're only saying it because you think you should say it. In church, you learned you should say it. The moment your heart takes hold of something, it begins to act that way. What you believe affects how you behave. So I've given you one key, honor. But that honor is the second key. Give us John chapter 12 verse 26. Fast, please. This year, about the fine honor, serve. All of you go and find a department. Find a cell. And not go there to be served. The Son of Man, the King of Glory, came not to be served, but to serve. And he served and became so obedient and submissive, even up to the point of death. The Bible said, therefore, God has highly... You see, Jesus didn't become Lord of Lords because it was his birthright. Jesus became Lord of Lords because he feared God and walked righteousness. He served. The scripture said, therefore, God has highly exalted him. you find people that humble themselves and they serve, God exalts them. Those of us who were in the Workers' Congress will now say, but Pastor, I know those who serve. In fact, I have served. Nothing came out of it. We showed you why. Because there is a number one. The number one key to obtaining divine honor and seeing it in your life. Because by faith, you access it. By faith, you obtain it. That thing is a faith work. A serious faith work. It's called putting God first in all things. Many people serve God, but not as first. And everything you offer to God that is not first, He rejects. So for you to go to number two service, you have to first of all establish number one. There are people that have sown seeds. They are believing God for certain things. Their hearts were moved. They've heard testimonies. They've heard the message. They carry seeds, sowed, doors opened. They sowed, doors opened. They received miracles. And they received it here and there. But there is no man on earth that God has held in honor in wealth. Men that kings lay treasures on their feet. Men, they come into the business field. And things work as if is magical. You just come around them and you just know this one. You see the mark of glory. It's evident. It can't be explained how their miracles, how their successes, how their liftings happen. You see others that you can trace. This guy works off himself. This guy, they try. I really like this guy. But you just see this one for no reason. You know, I've never seen men held up in honor who don't put God first. No, not sowing seed. Their secret is not sowing seed. Their secret is worship. They worship God with their wealth. It's not sowing. Sowing seed is after. They worship. There is a consecration they have. Whenever God blesses them with ever, they bring out first. They honor God with the first fruits of their increase. They do it. And they are not in competition with anybody. Many times it's very secret. Nobody knows. The Father who sees in secret rewards them openly. When you see men worship God with tears, you need to see me when I'm doing that. I actually don't have time enough in church to offer my first fruits, to offer my thanksgiving sacrifices, or to offer my tithes. I don't have time in church. So I always take time before I come to church to do the offering because the time in church is too short. I have to shed tears with them. I have to honor God. I have to bring it before the Lord and say, "You saw me. Men rode over our heads. We were in a scarce and thirsty land. A weary place. The enemy thought he had us. But with a mighty hand, you delivered me." He said, when your sons ask you, why do you give the first to God? He said, tell them that you were once a slave in bondage in Egypt. He said, and God with a mighty hand slew the first sons so that you can come out. So, in reality for us Christians, God slew his own first son. So, he became the representation of the first sons of Egypt, being a typology of sin, and Jesus became sin, who he knew no sin, and became a sacrificial lamb. God slew that his own first son will go free. He said, that's why. And he brought us from slavery into the land flowing with milk. Now he has brought us into the blessing. That's why the first son, the firstborn, the firstling, the first fruits that opened the womb, we give to him. He said, go. And honor him. So you go to Proverbs chapter 3, you see that. Honor the Lord with your substance. Not give money. No. The money is a representation of worship.
The moon is a representation of your glory. Moon is people's glory. It's a representation of your strength. And what you're doing is you're laying it down before him in tears. I was nobody. I was a pilgrim. But you established me, gave me a name, made me praise. And then you honor and you honor. And I said, Father, till tomorrow, I will continue to testify. Money is not my defense. You are my defense. Money is not my protection. You are my protection. Money does not provide for me. You are the source of every good and perfect gift. As I finish crying that and I come and put it in church, then it's taken for the blessing of lives. See what goes on with it. You can never see a man. You can never see a man who doesn't live that lifestyle. And where is the grace from? I want you to listen to me. Listen to me. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 26. Get me to verse 67 and 68. This is the sacrifice Jesus paid for our honor. That's why I don't work for my own honor. Someone else worked for it. It's grace. A gift of grace. A gift of grace. I don't deserve it. I didn't qualify for it. Only through Christ I received it. That's why if anybody wants to abuse me, there is nothing to defend. Because I didn't earn it. I didn't earn it. Grace. I want you to listen. I want you to read to your neighbor. Hear what Jesus had to go. Now, everything that was done on the face of Jesus paid the price for our honor. That's where he took the shame, the face of Jesus. That is a revelation of the face of Jesus. And guess where the glory of God shines? In the face of Jesus. Watch that. Instead of shame, glory. Watch this. Hold your neighbor, call him by his or her name. The gallery everywhere you are, call them by their name. Say, Mr. David. Say, hear the word of the Lord. Read to your neighbor, one to go. Then they spat on his face and beat him. And others struck him with the palms of their hands. Verse 68. Say, is there a shame greater than that? Spat on his face. They were spitting on his face. Not one person spat. They spat. Has one person ever spat on your face before? Do you know how degrading, disheartening you feel like, oh, I'm nobody? Now, imagine a group of soldiers that could be in their tens and hundreds spitting on one man's face. Imagine how spit covered his face. I want you to imagine it. How many of you have an imagination? They spat and they struck him on his face. That's the shame he took. That you and I will never be ashamed. I don't care what that devil is. I don't care how many generations that devil has been plaguing your family in your natural bloodline. There is going to be an end to every shame in your life and in your family. Somebody paid the price. Wait, let me get somewhere. Let's get somewhere. We're about to do something. Somebody, how can my Lord and my Savior take this? Then I allow the devil to do it the second time for something that has been paid for. Sickness will not spit on your face this year. Whatever will bring shame will not arise in your life. Give me Luke chapter 22, verse 63 and 64. They spat on his face, but he didn't stop at spitting. Hold your neighbor. Hold your neighbor. Read to your neighbor. Want to go. Now the man who held Jesus mocked him. Somebody said they've already mocked him. Hear me. Nothing of this natural life will bring mockery to your life. Shall the price has been paid. The devil can't require that of you again. Look at the next verse. And having blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, Professor, who is the one who struck him?
They didn't just spit, they struck him on his face. Let me show you something. Isaiah 50 verse 6. Isaiah 50 verse 6. Oh God. And have I gave my back to those who struck me. By his stripes you are healed. And my cheeks to those. So when you say they struck him, it's not just beating. Let me explain. They took him by the beards. And they were taking the beards off his natural skin. Even if it was an animal, at least you pour water, you put it through fire. This one is with spit. They took their hands. They plucked out my beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. I did not hide. He did not hide his face from shame. They plucked him by the beard. I'm sorry. I said I wasn't. I've been crying since meditating on this. But it emboldens my resolve. What Jesus paid the price for? How can I be spiritually lazy and allow the devil to put shame on me when the price was paid? This kind of price. If you were owing a debt and someone came, maybe you were owing $10,000 and the person paid $100,000 over payment, they can go. And then after that, the person you were owing before comes again to collect the $10,000. What will you do? How can the devil put on us what God already put on Jesus? Is that not why we are going to partake of this table? To declare that the Lord has died until he comes. That if he has died, we died with him. That the devil can put on us what he died to. Somebody has to become angry in the spirit. I gave my back to those who struck me. If you notice that my, that's a messianic prophecy. You notice it's in capital letter. That's Jesus. And my cheek, capital letter. My cheeks on both sides. So let me give you the picture of it. Go to Isaiah Hayakata Saka, chapter 52, fast. Verse 13 to 14. Give me the NIV of it. Isaiah 52, 13 to 14. See, my servant will act wisely, and he will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. You see, he's saying, this my servant, this is Jesus. He's talking, it's a messianic prophecy. Jesus will be highly lifted up. But there is a price he had to pay for it. He said, just as there were many who were appalled at him. Appalled at him. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form was marred beyond human likeness. Let me explain. They were pulling his face until you couldn't recognize it was the face of a man. They so beat him. They so beat him, he was so disfigured. You have to look at the skeleton just to know he's a man. You couldn't tell who he was. Flesh were falling from different parts of his body. The only thing is that one bone was not broken. God didn't allow it. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. Put that in the NLT, please. But as many were amazed when they saw him, his face was so disfigured, he seemed hardly human. That's what it is. He seemed hardly human. And from his appearance, one would scarcely know he was a man. I don't know why. When you want to weigh the love God has for you, let this picture come to your mind. When the enemy wants to tell you that God is far, that God doesn't hear, that God doesn't understand, let this picture, let it be your imagination.
But it didn't end there. Matthew chapter 27, verse 38. Put there, please. Then two robbers were crucified with him. They made sure that they took him outside the camp. Outside the place of shame. And put him, they solidified it. What a great shame that is people who stole, common thieves and robbers. They put on him the badge of the dishonor of a criminal. They made Jesus a criminal in between two thieves. The one who raised their dead. The one who healed their sick. The one who opened the eyes of their blind. The one who gave them life. The one who prayed for them. Gave them good. For what? What did he do? But it was a judgment from God. Because no man could kill the author of life. He laid down this life for one thing. For one thing. And they chose crucifixion. And hung him there on the tree. Because when you read the laws of Moses, the Bible said, he who hangs on a tree is accursed. So he had to become a cause of dishonor. A cause of shame for us. I don't know who is here. And you committed things in your past. And you made mistakes in your past. Some of them people know. Some of them people don't know. But even when we think people don't know, some do know. I don't know what it is. And it has given you a reputation of shame. When you go home now, nobody respects you. When you come to your siblings, nobody honors you. When you come back, I don't know who you are. Maybe you stole in your former place of work and they fired you. You've been living with different things. I don't know who you are. Maybe you went to commit abortion. You aborted babies because you lived the wrong lifestyle. So the devil has been accusing you. The devil has been speaking and abusing you. The devil has been plaguing your heart with shame. I don't know where you're coming from. Maybe it's not even something you've done wrong. Maybe it's something that happened to you. You were raped. You were abused. Or maybe it's a deformity in your body. That maybe there is a plague, a weakness. Maybe there is an infirmity, a sickness that makes everybody else look down on you. Everybody else despises you. Today, I have a word from God for you. That word is in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 7. He said, I died and I took your shame. I hung on the cross to be accursed. I hung on the cross for your sake. I paid the price. I know there are men who think they know you because they know your past. But they didn't create you. I made you. You are my workmanship. And I've never made a failure. I've never made a mistake. You're not a mistake, says the Lord. The Lord said, this good work I started in you. Your past is too small to erase what I'm about to show forth in my glory in your future. The Lord says that I should tell you, your letter will be much more glorious. Your letter will be much more glorious. You will be held in honor. The Lord said, I should tell you, instead of shame, you shall have double honor. Instead of shame, you shall not just have honor, but double honor. Who has this word today? Who has this word today? Lift your hands and say, instead of shame, I have double honor. Instead of confusion, I return
joy is in my portion. The devil in the kingdom of God. Where I am, where I live, this kingdom of His glory, this kingdom of honor, I possess double. I possess double. An everlasting joy is mine. Rejoice, you who have not rejoiced for a long time. Hear me. The Lord is addressing men with no sperm count and low sperm count. And the enemy had tried to use the fact that you couldn't father your own children to bring shame to you. It may have been genetic, it may have been demonic, it may have been by your own bad lifestyle, but the price was paid. You've been trying to pay the price, but Jesus said, don't do no penance. I paid the price. When you're trying to fix it yourself, it means you're rejecting what He has done to fix it. As you take the communion today, this worship and miracles, hear the voice of the Lord. Those sperm cells are revived. What was dead comes alive again. In the name of Jesus. Rejoice, you they called barren. Woman, they called you barren. Hear the word of the Lord. More are your children than the children of the one that was married. More shall be your children. Your womb will carry your babies again. Your womb will carry and bet your babies. You will bet your babies. As you have desired of the Lord, so it shall be for you. In the name of Jesus. Every time they call you, they say, when are you getting married? Every time they call you, they say, when are you getting married? As if you were joking. As if you were doing it of your own volition. As if that's exactly how you wanted it. And it's been like a shame hanging over your mind. Hanging over your head. Hear the voice of the Lord. Hear the voice of the Lord. This year is your year. I wipe away the shame. And I don't just give you a wedding. I give you a godly home. I give you godly offspring. I give you godly offspring. There is somebody here about to make a mistake. Because of the pressure, you told yourself, let me just marry. And your spirit has been fighting. You know this is not it. You know this is not it. But you say to yourself, you're tired. You're tired. I just want to marry. The Lord said, no. No, my son. No, my daughter. I am crowning you with a new crown. Don't make a mistake. Don't let the pressure of the enemy. Don't let the mockery of men. They mocked me for your sake. They spat on me for your sake. They tore my face and struck me on the face for your sake. Look to me. Look to me. Don't fix your own miracle. Don't manipulate your own home. Look to me. You will not be put to shame. Trust in me. You're closer to it than you can imagine. Do not faint. Do not give up. Says the Lord of hosts, Ukaveka, receive your honor. He makes all things new. I say He makes all things new. I say He makes all things new. Now listen, we're about to get into this. I'm about to bless the communion. Hear me. In Numbers chapter 21. The children of Israel began to murmur against God. And as they murmured, they said, what kind of thing is this? You brought us from Egypt, the land of slavery, and you brought us into a place that is dry, the wilderness. Every time you're giving us manna, what kind of bread is this? You know, sometimes God delivers people, bring them into His kingdom, and yet they are not satisfied. And they feel like
God, you're delaying too much. And because of that, the judgment of the Lord was aroused. And fiery serpents were sent. And they began to bite them. And they began to bite them. And they began to die in their numbers. And Moses began to cry. And the children of the Lord of Israel came to Moses and cried. And Moses began to cry to the Lord. Please, mercy. Everybody lift your hands and cry, mercy. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Cry mercy. Mercy is not just for unbelievers. Mercy is available for believers. Wherever we may have said the wrong things, wherever we have missed the mark, wherever, and not even because we are better than everybody, anybody else, somebody say, Lord, mercy! Mercy. The blood of Jesus is speaking over everyone here today. Ikaladaya, Ikaladaya. Lift your hands everywhere. Say, Jesus Christ is my Lord. I believe in my heart. He died for my sins. I believe in my heart. He was raised that I may have a new life. I receive His mercy. I receive His grace. I receive His righteousness. I receive His new life. Say, Lord, mercy! And God said to Moses, Moses, do one thing for me. Get a brazen serpent and put it on a pole. Somebody say, on a pole. Say, Jesus hung on the tree. Say, Jesus became sin. Brazen serpent. Brazen. The humanity serpent sin. The sin of men hanging on the cross. Jesus. Verse 9 says, so Moses made a bronze serpent, which is the typology of Jesus hanging on the cross, becoming sin. Stand on your feet now, everybody. And put it on a pole. That's what we are doing today in the communion. So it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, anyone here that the devil through sin have brought anything that caused reproach, that brought shame. There's some people here that being addicted to things that brought shame. Please, wherever you are, if you can stand on your feet, unless you're praying in a position where you're praying, but if else, make sure you're not sitting down out of convenience. Anybody here that a serpent may have beaten, the Bible says, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Look and live. Look and live. Take your eyes off Pastor David and look. Look. Look at Jesus bleeding. Look at the cross. Look at the shame. Look at his face. Look at his face. He took the shame. Your family have been mocked for poverty. Nothing good has happened in your family for a long time. Oh, go and tell them to come and listen to this message. They should look. Look, look, look. Look. All things are made new. It won't be as it used to be. It won't be the story of the past. It won't be the continuation of what used to be. It won't be the story of generation past. It won't be the stories of your forefathers. No. Behold, he's doing a new thing. Look and leave. Look and leave. On the gallery, everywhere, look and leave. At the back, look and leave. Look to Jesus. Some people are already taking it. Psalm chapter 34, verse 5. Listen. Look at me now. Whatever brought shame will be brought to shame on this altar today. Whatever made men despise you, look down on you, look down on your family, will be brought down today and shattered and destroyed today in the name of Jesus. How many of you have learned the principle of putting God first? How many of you have learned that principle of honoring Him? Have you learned it? How many of you have learned the principle of service? That's the only two things. Those the works of your faith. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. And put Him first. You see, today, you're living here with abundance of grace that won't expire this year. That won't expire in 10 years. Let me tell you, this is a life-defining, destiny-defining encounter. What is happening here? Your children and your children's children will continue to eat from it. Will continue to be blessed by it. You will hear that family today, dedication. Tomorrow, celebration. Next tomorrow, anniversary. Next tomorrow, this dedication. Next tomorrow, they went for graduation. You will hear so much congratulation, but you won't get tired of it. Why? Because the more you're hearing it, the more you humble yourself. You will teach your children, this is where it started from. From the altar where Jesus died. You will tell them the story of Jesus' shame on His face. How He carried the shame and how you heard the gospel. You will tell your children to instruct their own children. And tell them the honor we are enjoying in this family came from this altar. Are you ready? Lift your hands. I'm not going to be praying for specific things. As the Lord leads me, I call it out. One thing I know is there is no work of the devil that can remain. And can no one, there is not implanted by the devil in your body that will, you will live here with. You are dropping them on this altar. It's ejected. It's ejected out of your system. Whatever the case be, I'm working with time. This kind of miracle service needs many hours. But God knows the time we have, so I'm going to use that time. And within that time, He will perfect His work. Now raise your hands everywhere. Look at the screen. You better claim that scripture. Get the communion ready now. And claim it loud. One, two, go. You will not be put to shame. Your faces will not be ashamed. You will not be put to shame. Your faces will not be ashamed. The glory of the Lord is shining upon you. Every case of pity is overruled and overturned today. Lift your hands and He makes all things new. Shout that He makes all things new in my life. If you were believing for a healing, put your hands there. Put your hands there. Put your hands where you're believing God for a healing. You foul spirits of infirmity, of blood disease, of organ malfunctioning, you viruses,
You flies from hell. Leketeketeka. You poison. Introduce. You spirit of death. Trying to destroy people's body. Their skin. You spirit of pain. I command you. In the name of Jesus. And by the blood that was shed. Take your filthy hands off their minds and their body, off their blood, off their hearts, off their systems, off their bones. You spirit of paralysis, I curse you. Go now! Place your hands there. Anybody whose organ was damaged, whose organ has been tampered with, or any organ taken away, no longer there. Hear me. One of the things I asked of the Lord when coming for this service is for new organs. New organs. New organs. New organs. New organs. Now, receive new organs. Receive new parts of your body now. Let there be spiritual dialysis, supernatural dialysis. That kidney comes alive again. Let there be supernatural transplants. Right now, right now. Let there be supernatural blood transfusions. Bone marrow transplant, supernatural, right now. Right now. Blood diseases are healed. Addictions are destroyed. Pain, go! Growth disappear. If you were paralyzed, stand up. If you couldn't walk, walk. Blind eyes open. Deaf ears open. Every tongue dump open and begin to talk. With that part of the body, stretch out. Any part of your body, shorter, let it stretch out. Any condition that is not of the Lord, receive your healing now. Be healed. In the name of Jesus, you're watching me be healed. In the name of Jesus, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, every cell of our blood, every bone of our structure, every fiber of our being, be healed. I speak healing over our children. I speak healing over our teenagers. I speak healing over our parents. I speak healing over our relatives. I speak healing over our households. Cry no more. I hear the sound of rejoicing. 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 I hear joy. Joy overflowing. In this land, you possess your portion. You possess your health. You possess. Every sail ayakata. Every voice of insanity, mental instability, I silence you now. Bipolar cases, schizophrenic cases, whatever it is, mental instability, be made every bit whole now. Return to your soundness of mind now. I break the power of darkness over your mind now in the name of Jesus. People battling with different kinds of addiction. Alcohol, drugs, painkillers, different pornography, food, whatever it is. Even addiction to pain. People that cut themselves, whatever it is. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and by that blood, I adjure, I command you, devils of addiction, loose them now and let them go. Be free. Be made free now. You are free in the name of Jesus. Nandayataya. Epayagata. Yebelekete. Place your hands on your head. Epayata. Ekalaha. Say in the name of Jesus. Place those hands on your head. Place it. Even if your hands couldn't get to your head before, put it now. It will get there. Lepalakata. Say in the name of Jesus. Christ is in me, and I am in Christ, and all my days I look to Christ, and I am lighted up. I become radiant, and my face shall never be ashamed. Never. I will never be disgraced. I will never be defeated. I will never be brought down. I will never be mocked or ridiculed. Never. I am held up in honor. In the name of Jesus. Say, therefore, when men try to go against this decree, it will work for my promotion. It will work for my lifting. Always working for my blessing. For the Lord has made my name great, exalted me high above all peoples that he has made, in praise, in name, and in honor. I am set apart as holy as unto him in the name of Jesus. Today, I decree and declare, in my year of quantum lifts, I am lifted in honor multiple times. There will be no reason to be pitied, but plenty reasons to be honored, to be praised, to be celebrated. As I humble myself and acknowledge the Lord, the first fruits of the new creation, the firstborn of all creation, the first and the head over the church, as my Lord, and I decree and declare that my Lord Jesus has the preeminence in my life, in my choices, in my emotions, in my relationships, in my family, in my work, in my business, in my finances, in all that I do. The Lord Jesus is first. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. And everything in between. I honor you, Lord. And I serve you with my money, with my abilities, my talents and gifts, with my time. I serve you in your house. I serve you outside the church. I serve you with my life. It all belongs to you. I humble myself before you. I humble myself under your mighty hand. Thank you, Father. All my days, help me and teach me to keep being humble before you. Give him praise.
Wait. 30 seconds. When I tell you to do this, forget about your neighbor. Lose it all so you can gain it. It's those that lose it that gain it. Humble yourself. Oh. When I tell you to do this, I will tell you to praise and I will give you a key. I'll say in the name of Jesus and I'll tell you. After you finish shouting and praising, don't just shout, exalt the Lord. Praise Him with words. Praise Him with your spirit in tongues. When you finish, if you were believing for a healing, check your body. If you had a growth, check for your healing. Don't check the sickness, check for your healing. And as you check for your healing, start praising Him. Like never before, the second round. Are you ready? Are you ready? Oh, the Lord told me that miracles are waiting for you while you get to the house. In the name of Jesus, praise Him! Praise Him! Contrasts are ready. New contrasts. New properties. New properties. New investors. Financial miracles everywhere. Open doors. Hey, Maya, la. Check your body for your healing. Check your body. The growth has disappeared. The pain is gone. The cough is gone. The pain is gone. Do what you couldn't do before. Do it now. Faith. Do it now. Take off those glasses and see what you couldn't see before. Do it now. Tell somebody to close your that ear, the one you can hear with, and hear from the one you couldn't hear with.
Thank you so much for listening to this message by Pastor David Ifechukwu. Follow us on any of our social media platforms using the handle @MyLambWorld or contact us at 006-275-3311 to purchase and listen to more life-changing messages by Pastor David Ifechukwu.